Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Beekeepers across the U.S. are concerned about the disappearance of millions of honeybees. About 25% of the 2.4 million commercial bee colonies report heavy losses at their hives, and scientists still aren't exactly sure why. Earth and Sky's Jorge Salazar spoke with May Barenbaum, professor and head of the Department of Entomology at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Barenbaum studied the status of pollinators for the National Research Council for a 2006 report, and in March of 2007, she took her findings to Congress. Here's Jorge Salazar with bee expert May Barenbaum.
Dr. Barenbaum, welcome to Earth and Sky.
Pleasure to be here.
Could you give me a little bit of a good idea here of the situation with bees? Could you give us some background? What's going on?
Basically, the story is that last year, throughout the year, beekeepers in various locations noticed basically that bees were disappearing. They'd go to check their colonies, take the lid off the boxes, and all that would remain behind from what had previously been a strong, healthy colony of 20 to 30,000 workers were just a few workers and the queen. Now, bees are subject to all kinds of mortality agents. They, in particular, in the 1980s, a parasitic mite was introduced accidentally into North America and just devastated honeybee colonies. When varroa mite strikes, there are dead bodies. Same is true for some of the bacterial and other microbial diseases bees are susceptible to. American foul brood, for example, you have corpses left behind. In fact, there's a particular group of bees in a colony whose task it is to remove the dead bodies of their fallen comrades and remove them from the hive and dump them outside. And so despite this mechanism for disposing of dead bodies, there just weren't any. And this was quite disturbing to beekeepers, not only to find their colonies decimated, but to have no obvious explanation for the loss.
How do scientists get an idea of the extent of this bee die-off?
When this situation was brought to the attention of some entomologists at Penn State University, the word went out within the bee research community, and really an extraordinary volunteer effort was mobilized, and scientists, all kinds of expertise, donated their time and attention to this situation. And among other activities, it was recognized early on it's important to kind of nail down the extent of this phenomenon and the gravity of the situation. There's one individual, Derry Romanshank, who's set up a website for people with bees to call in and report losses. Others are focusing on potential causes, on examining colonies for signs of illness. And there have been a couple of meetings. The most recent was in February in Stuart, Florida, and kind of a collective strategy was worked out whereby people contributed their particular skills in bee science in order to rule out various hypotheses that have been advanced to account for these disappearances.
What are some of the best guesses that scientists have as far as what's happening here and why?
Really, what distinguishes this particular phenomenon from previous massive bee die-offs is the absence of bodies, and that is probably the key to figuring out what's going on. So, in my opinion, the best guess as to what's causing this is some form of stress that disrupts the honeybee's capacity to orient and navigate. Honeybees are amazing organisms that can leave their hive, travel for considerable distances, find floral sources, come back to the colony, and through their symbolic dance language, indicate to their nest mates precisely where the foraging floral sources are and recruit more workers to those locations. I mean, it's really a staggering feat when you think of how much navigation and orientation are involved in that kind of behavior. Well, it doesn't take much to disrupt that. If a bee's navigating capacity is reduced in any way, the bee runs the risk of not coming home. Agents that interfere with memory, navigation, and orientation might be behind this phenomenon. And among those agents, there are some viral diseases that disrupt behavior, and there are some pesticides that are neurotoxic, that affect the nervous system, that have sublethal effects on behavior. And if, in fact, there's exposure to pesticides, for example, essentially destroys the ability of the bee to find its way home, that could account for the massive disappearances without any bodies. So there, all of these many hypotheses are being tested. There are people inspecting colonies using molecular techniques in an effort to detect previously undescribed viral or bacterial diseases. There is an effort to examine the entire genome of the honeybee by means of a gene chip to see if, in fact, there are traces in the genome of exposure to particular pesticides. Using the gene chip as well, investigators are trying to see if the immune system has been compromised, kind of a collapse of the entire immune system that would leave the bee vulnerable to all kinds of influences. There are some in the community who think that this is just the result of multiple and variable stresses that just push bees past the tipping point. If that's the case, I think we're in trouble, because multiple and variable causes will mean that we need multiple and variable solutions. So at this point, it's hard to rule out any of the hypotheses.
How important is it for people to take care of these bees so that they can do the job that nature has assigned to them?
Most people don't grasp the gravity of this situation. And bees and flowers seem to be kind of amusing distractions, but in reality, the vast bulk of the agricultural enterprise of the United States rests on honeybees. About 90 crops depend for pollination services on this one species. Honeybees are extraordinary pollinators because, among other things, they can be managed. They're semi-domesticated. You can transport them. They have this amazing communication system that allows them to exploit ephemeral resources so they can, and they do have the ability to revisit the same species of flower. They have very good memories, and that's important for bringing about pollination. And they have very large colonies, 20,000 to 30,000 workers. So you can, one hive can provide a lot of pollination services. And as a consequence, the many growers of many different fruits and vegetables have become dependent on the honeybee and paying for pollination services. And any decrease in the number of bees available is likely to affect the ability of growers to produce these fruits and vegetables. About a third of the American diet can be traced back to honeybee pollination, and that includes seemingly unlikely components of the diet, such as beef and cheese, because dairy and beef cattle depend on, for forage, for hay crops and the like, on plants that are pollinated by bees, clover and alfalfa, for example. Collectively, the pollination services of honeybees alone, just honeybees, amount to about $14 billion a year, according to one estimate. I don't think people realize just how utterly dependent we are on bees. Historically, have been feral bees, wild bees that people haven't domesticated that contribute pollination services. But when varroa mites were introduced, feral populations all over the country crashed. Nobody was there to protect them. And as a consequence, nobody's been monitoring them. We have no idea what the feral bee population is in this country. Whether there are bees that can fill in for the missing bees is just an open question. We have not really kept track of bees in a way commensurate with their importance to our economy.
What are some of the things that are being done to help this problem, to perhaps at the level of the agriculture department, at the level of local beekeepers? What are people doing about this? Are people just observing and there's nothing that can be done, or is there anything being done?
As I mentioned, there's this association called the Colony Collapse Disorder Working Group, which is just a voluntary group of scientists with expertise in bee biology who have gotten together, are communicating in person and electronically and in every conceivable way, sharing information, sharing materials. There's a nationwide effort to coordinate the scientific investigation of this problem, you know, using a common group of samples and controls so that the results can be directly compared. And this is ongoing, and it's mostly just out of the goodwill of the individual scientists. That's one reason there are hearings. There's an outcry for emergency funding to ensure that this problem can be solved before it gets truly catastrophic.
That was bee expert May Barenbaum. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.